You're listening to DraftKings Network.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. Win. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
I could do, I feel like, a half hour, and I couldn't, so don't please make me do it, on the acting in that clip.
Why bring it up?
That Sopranos. Because I was just like, I feel like I could do an hour, and Dan's going to be like, go ahead, do an hour.
Well, you've been, what's funny about you is that you're great when no expectation of acting is expected of you, but the moment anyone asks you to act, you become incredibly self-conscious and can't spit a syllable without stumbling over your feet. You're a truly terrible actor.
Right. I'm more of an improv guy. But my point is that we saw James Gandolfini and
Edie Falco.
And Edie Falco, they are great actors. We saw them many times in Sopranos act. And in this clip, were they not buying their roles?
They were trying.
It was mailed in, right? Was that just me, or was that terror? That was the worst acting. If those were their audition reels, they would never have gotten the roles.
I love the fact that they broke the fourth wall at the end, just looking straight at the camera like, LeBron.
Do you think they were paid for that?
Yes.
No, I don't think
they did it for free.
I think that they all wanted. Look, this is a slam dunk.
What you paid for.
Look, I will tell you, because you guys are seeing, I think everyone is seeing what is happening all around the podcast hustle. It is hard to break through because everything is fragmented. Pablo is doing something that is hard to pull off, which is hustling for artifacts. This is going to be the gossip of the way the oral history is told on where the Knicks failed the last 15 years to get to this moment where they're celebrating. We got Jalen Brunson. But they had the prime of LeBron. It was done. You couldn't screw this up. You couldn't screw it up. Like everyone, he's doing it near Bristol, Connecticut, because clearly he's going to New York. Everyone had it done to New York. And they screwed it up, and Stugatz was screaming as it was happening. What happened with Donnie Walsh? He had fallen down recently, right? So it's not. Stugatz was infuriated because he's like, we're recruiting LeBron, and somebody's going in there in a wheelchair. Like the head of our—
Riley's going in with rings, and we're going in with a wheelchair.
But from a freak accident of some sort that had happened a few weeks earlier to an old person. It was that person would then in the future be a— I think I have my history right here. I think Stugatz was making fun of Donnie Walsh.
I was,
because there was a recent injury that made it so the recruitment of LeBron got messy, and we were all theorizing that the Knicks were screwing up the recruitment pitch. But to see it, to physically see it, is another thing entirely.
He underwent neck surgery to remove two bone spurs 2 weeks prior to that. He was doing it out of precaution.
You have to delay that surgery.
I love the idea of James Dolan getting the clip back of The Sopranos and being like, can I get another take? Don't love it. A little too much.
Stiff.
I need less.
Little stiff.
Yeah.
James.
And then James is like, go bleep yourself. You
the
get
fact
this
that
one,
the right? writing could be so bad that it makes those actors bad is just remarkable to me. And that's all on the Knicks, whoever they hired as the writers.
The whole premise to me is hokey and trite, right? It would be like the Miami Heat's pitch revolving around, Miami Vice.
Culture, yeah.
Miami Vice and
CSI, you know, Miami.
What just happened there?
Like
Craig,
that.
What just happened? You were soaring through the sky, and what happened? You were looking for something pop culturally relevant
right.
to Miami?
Miami Vice
and
is
you went
the
to
equivalent.
Miami.
It's the equivalent of The Sopranos in New York.
I would have thought Godfather just because of Riley.
Well, Scarface? Okay.
That would have been a little more
Scarface.
Inventive. Yeah. That would have been a little more inventive.
Forgive me, Greg. I really don't know. Just because we grew up around Miami Vice. You're mentioning a television show that's almost at the advent of when television became popular in this country, when there were three channels. So your reference point on what is cool about Miami right. is literally from 40 years ago.
Not 40, but your point is well taken. I think the pop culture reference, I think Miami Vice was as big or bigger nationally,
it was a giant television show.
Than The Sopranos.
Because there were only three channels.
Okay.
You can always go with the movie version. Jamie Foxx.
First episode was 1984, so 40 years ago.
Okay. Here's the other thing.
Wait, what?
Here's the other
what
thing.
What was the first thing?
Okay. Why are we assuming that LeBron James was a Sopranos fan?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he hated that
well,
show.
It was the most popular thing in television, and basically everyone loved The Sopranos.
Well, I
except
did.
Him, apparently. Except
it was Andy only for 3 years at the time he saw that.
What if he liked SpongeBob SquarePants, and they got SpongeBob and Patrick? That would have landed him.
We're doing some real play in the result here, okay? Yeah, he went to other places, won championships everywhere else, and the Knicks stunk. Clearly, it was because of those 10 minutes.
I just told Donnie Walsh he needed to delay that surgery.
After calling him Donnie Nelson. That's right.
Nelly.
That's correct.
In hindsight, do you think he would have, though? I mean,
damn
delayed
right
the surgery.
Maybe they'll do that show on FAN. Once these secret videos get released and get disseminated, because as the playoffs start, this is going to get the Knicks mocked because their management has been very bad for a long time. But what is funny about their management now, Stugatz, as we've been mocking James Dolan for a long time as one of the worst owners anywhere in sports, great in hockey, awful over here. That franchise has been a joke, like a management joke for a long time. They gave the job to Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson goes in and says, oh, it's easy to be Pat Riley. I'll just be famous and fall asleep on a bus and we won't be any good. I can't do this lazy. I have to dedicate my life to it. Phil Jackson says of LeBron's people, his posse diminishes them as they now run the Lakers. They run the sport. They run the agent business. Because the game passed Phil Jackson by right there, and the New York Knicks learned with their management, a lot of people question management, I question, because they're just coming over from the agent relationship business. But they bet on relationships, Stugatz, and they fixed it. Like, the Knicks have been a joke, and James Dolan has been the reason for a long time. He handed it to the black dudes, and they came in on relationships, and they rebuilt the Knicks in a way that cares about the Knicks, in a way that Knicks fans get mad at Stephen A. Smith for representing them because they don't think that that form of fandom comes to the core of where the kid Mero roots for the Knicks from, where he'll hate Pat Riley. He'll go boo Pat Riley's grave.
The craziest part about LeBron in this pitch, it's 2010. It's The Sopranos. All the video looks really old. It's 14 years ago that we're talking about. He's still leading his team to the postseason. They play in a play-in game tonight for the Lakers.
Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. He will absolutely boo Pat Riley's grave, his tombstone.
Put it on the poll at Lebitard Show. Would Knicks fans boo Pat Riley's tombstone? Because I believe they would.
But would Stephen A. not? I feel like Stephen A. would.
I think he respects him too much.
He'd kick it over.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Those are two very different things.
Well, booing is polite.
You can't kick over his tombstone.
Booing is polite.
Kind of kicked you out.
Well, he's been working out. Yeah.
I mean, booing is polite compared to some things you can do to a gravestone. Mm-hmm. You can graffiti it. You can kick it over.
Yeah.
You know, how many urinate kicks? On it. I mean, there's any number of things.
Am I wrong here?
Cemetery.
I feel like a tombstone would be very difficult to kick over.
No.
I don't think it would be. I think it's just the soil underneath. I mean, maybe I'm wrong about this. I don't have any.
Let's not test this theory. I don't want people going out.
Let's talk this out for a second.
Yeah. No foundation.
Respect the dead.
Well, some dead.
Yep.
There's some dead people, if we're going to be honest, you don't have to respect.
No. Right, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
There's a whole list of pieces of shit that died.
Yeah. Like that guy last week, you know who he is? Yeah.
Top five?
Who?
Oh, OJ, talk about a controversial grave. You got Bills fans applauding his grave while others are booing his grave.
Are Bills fans doing that?
Again with this.
Yeah, really?
A complicated legacy.
It's your fault, Dan. That's what we did on the show.
All right, here. Let me hear what the critique was, because I have checked out. I really have. I would say to you that the comment section is the unhappiest place on earth. So I am not checking in with the feedback that we're getting on whatever it is that we're doing. But it is now coming to my attention, I think, over what you've done the last couple of days to me, is that Stan Van Gundy and Carl Douglas evidently were too pro-OJ on Friday.
Pro-OJ.
Let me just make sure that I have this right. So our show is being framed as we were more pro-OJ Simpson than the average show was last week.
Not more. We were the only pro-OJ Simpson show.
With complicated legacy. Okay.
It took about 15 minutes for us to say anything negative about the man.
Okay. I mean,
it's just a shame. All right, he's never going to be able to rest in peace.
It took me saying that he did it for that.
He never found the killer.
Yeah, it's a shame.
All right. Okay, you know what?
What?
Here's what's not
complicated. Who's going to find the killer?
Here's what's not complicated about the legacy, okay? Because this part, like, I don't know. In all the talk of OJ, and I would again urge the audience, if you have not seen it, is the best documentary I've seen on any subject. What are you laughing about, Billy?
Just, you know, the show. Just having a good day at work, man, you know.
Who takes the torch?
I'm laughing at the show, too. I'm sorry.
I mean, how is that helpful?
Because the joke is he was the killer, but he said he was going to spend the rest of his life searching for the killer. Joke. But now he passed away, and he never found the killer.
Okay, so here's what's not
liable.
Here's what's not complicated about the legacy, okay? Because I do feel like this was lost in all the coverage, and that documentary covered all of the subject matter better than any I could imagine ever being done on any subject. It's the best I've ever seen. But the thing that wasn't covered nearly enough, I don't even want to laugh at this because this part's not funny, is the grotesque intimacy of killing someone that way, of with a knife, like with a, like, so that I don't think that it can be lost how hard it can be to kill someone that way. And that is the legacy. The legacy is that you were that. Like, whether it can be proven in a civil court or a criminal court, that's what you were. And everything else, though famous and interesting and celebrity, everything else pales, falls, and melts away in the shadow of that.
I don't know. In the fourth episode, they did show the pictures of the crime scene, and that was really, really harrowing.
But it was the trial of the century, and that's what he will be remembered for. And that it's not, that part's not complicated. I'm sorry if we misrepresented it.
Would have been nice if we had that on the day he actually...
Yeah, you got to say the day he does.
A little late on the takedown.
Yeah, I mean, agreed. Agreed. I was reacting in the moment
eulogizing.
To being transported into 1995. Not just a eulogy, but a trulogy. A trulogy.
Folks, listen up. I want to talk to you about PXG and their new Black Ops driver. You no longer have to sacrifice distance for accuracy, for forgiveness. Folks, those days are done. You get both of those things with this new driver because I went to one of their PXG locations and I tested it out myself. And my boy Mike over there, if you're in Fort Lauderdale, you got to go to that location. He took care of me there. It was quick. It was efficient. By the time I got into my car, I had my email where my clubs were going to be sent. I have them now. It is a beautiful thing. What an experience. The PXG Black Ops driver is a breakthrough breakthrough in driver technology. It's complete, total victory in golf club engineering, unlike anything you've ever seen before. It's adjustable to deliver a combined MOI of 10,000. I'm telling you, that is ridiculously high. You got to check it out. The PXG Black Ops driver. You'll be as impressed as I was. Learn more and get free shipping on all the equipment at pxg.com/Dan. Use code Dan at checkout. That's pxg.com/Dan. Code Dan for free shipping on all equipment. pxg.com/Dan. Code Dan.
It's that time again. The NBA playoffs are here. And boy, wouldn't it be cool to watch an NBA playoff game in person? Heck yeah, it would. And what better way to do so than by getting tickets on Game Time? Game Time's an authorized ticket marketplace of the NBA, which makes getting playoff tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to tip-off, which is perfect for people like you who don't plan things out. Or you're just really busy and you don't know you're going to have time to go to a game until the day of the game. And if basketball's not your thing, well, guess what? I'm on the Game Time app right now, and what's this? Oh, Megan Thee Stallion is coming to town. I could also see Bad Bunny or Blink-182, Shakira, and more, because Game Time has tickets to all the high-profile events, not just sports. You know some of my favorite features on Game Time? I can go on the app, and I can see the view from my seats, because sometimes it looks like they're going to be great, but I have no idea until I get there. But with this feature, I can actually see. Plus, they have the lowest price guaranteed. And as I mentioned, last-minute deals. You can save up to 60% off buying your tickets last minute for sports, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. Plus, Game Time has flash deals, zone deals, all-in pricing. They've got it all, plus the lowest price guarantee. Or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. And at Game Time, you always get the Game Time ticket coverage. Your purchase is covered with the most flexible customer service policy in the ticketing industry. Take the guesswork out of buying NBA tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest prices guaranteed.
Don Lebatard.
He called me on my own podcast. He called me full of shit, claiming that I'm faking interest in the solar eclipse.
Well, you do this. You love to just get excited about everything.
Okay, Junior.
Stugatz.
I had to school you and explain to you.
He was going
to
take you to Augusta.
When I was 17 years old, Alan Sherry and I used to haunt the Bueller Planetarium.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
I come from an age, as does Greg Cody, where a magazine cover that you can hold in your hand in sports could be stylistic art. So when I see Jimmy Butler at the start of these playoffs on the cover of Slam Magazine in a style meant to conjure, here's the last of the old school. Here's the last of these guys in the Durant, LeBron age, who's a little bit odder than the rest of them, better than we thought, tough, mercurial, unusual, is going to run through your organization being kind of an asshole people love because he wins and he conquers and he's been greater than anyone thought he was. And in the playoffs the last few years, Michael Jordan numbers indisputably while being efficient and carrying a team to heights we did not expect. But the words ring hollow to me when Jimmy Butler tells Slam Magazine, even though this cover is art, it is beautiful, as the last stop on Jimmy Butler's career, I doubt him headed into these playoffs. I am not like Stugatz, where I'm going to blindly trust. I fear that Philadelphia team, and I think Joel Embiid is better and younger, and even though Jimmy has conquered him, Joel Embiid healthy is, on any court in the Eastern Conference, always the best player.
Huge mistake. Playoff Jimmy.
That's all you got?
That's all that has to be said. What has Joel Embiid done in the playoffs?
Just about nothing.
Exactly right.
And Jimmy? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think we're one way or another, there's going to be a really good parade of gas bags. Either it's going to be me over and over again or the rest of the crew, because I fully still believe in what it is that Jimmy Butler's saying here, and that he says nobody wants to play them in a 7-game series. We know that. And you know what? We know that as well. I don't know why anybody would want to play the Heat in a 7-game series.
The great thing there is I think Billy was actually asking.
About Joel Embiid and the playoffs?
No, about what Jimmy Butler has done in the postseason.
I know what he's done. He's led this team to the finals not once but twice. This is when he turns it on. This is Jimmy's season.
Time.
Exactly right.
Yep.
He starts out, he kind of coasts towards the beginning of the season. Then come March, April, he really turns it on. And then once we get to playoff time, it's another level. And he puts the Heat on his back. And guess what? This year he doesn't need to do that, because you get Tyler Hero back, because you have Duncan Robinson there. Jimmy doesn't need to do all the things that Jimmy has done the past couple of seasons, but he's primed to when needs to if he's ready.
This is not a good sign when we're getting sarcastic, Billy, Heat analysis.
No, I don't like what's
repeating
happening.
Exactly. Not good for the Heat.
I don't like what's happening.
Terrible.
At all.
I don't understand. If I'm not supporting the Heat, it's a problem. When I am supporting the Heat, it's a
clearly
problem.
Sarcastic.
Can't win.
Doing the same thing with the Panthers, right, man.
And I willed them to a Stanley all Cup right. final run last season, I'll have you know.
Did
and
you?
I will say this, and I've said it once, I've said it a million times.
Mm-hmm.
The Florida Panthers do not win a Stanley Cup final game without Billy Gill in the building. It's never happened before. Every Stanley Cup final game that they've won, I've been in the building for.
One.
Since they began their history in 1993.
Wow, that can't be a coincidence.
Can't be.
Yeah. Mm. Good for you, Billy.
Billy, somebody has written in here, I need part. Way
I
more...
I'm sorry.
I just said in his headset, haven't you been to all of them too?
It sounded like you were speaking aloud. My bad. Totally on me. That's 100% on me.
All right.
Yeah. Because I have what you mentioned.
Right.
I too, like Billy, mm-hmm. been an eyewitness to all of the
mm-hmm. Stanley Cup final wins.
Stanley
yeah.
Cup mm-hmm. wins. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Continue to.
Well, that goes without saying.
Right.
That it couldn't happen.
Well, now he said
it. Didn't. He didn't say it.
He said it again.
Greg, why? Greg.
My apologies.
Greg.
He apologized. I mean,
Greg.
Sincerely.
How is it, Greg, after all of these years doing this? This is your son. These are your producers. You know these people. How is it after all these years you still don't understand when they're feeding you a joke to say on the air or saying it themselves? There's so often that you're having a conversation with just them and interrupting the entirety of the show.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a fair question by you.
Let me give the audience a little peek behind the curtain. This is what it sounds like when it's in my dad's ear.
Yeah.
This is what you should say, something like this. And when I'm on air, I talk like this.
Yeah.
So there are different ways that it sounds.
How do you never know when he's producing you?
In Greg's defense, he asked us to pinch our noses when we spoke to him in his headset once.
Did
and
do
we
that.
Don't yeah. do that.
No one does it. No one does it.
He tried to
totally
avoid
right.
this.
Yeah.
Greg's right.
Seriously. Kind of forget.
You didn't quite whisper.
Mm-mm.
You didn't I said quite just like this. I said, this is what you should say.
I heard it a little... loud.
What I was saying is the people have spoken and they are writing in, I need way more Marlins talk with Billy. Here's what I believe, Billy.
Yeah.
What I would like from you right now in this, the local hour, that I've wanted for so long for you to be a voice for Miami sports in this, the local hour, the mm-hmm. most precious of hours for us around here. And when the Heat and Panthers get going, you don't want to be a part of it so much.
No, falsehoots.
Okay, well,
I'm here.
Okay, falsehoots. Okay.
Every cup game.
And what?
He didn't. He was playing a different game than the rest of us. Billy.
You want me to talk about Andrew Nardi?
No, what I want you to do.
I can't without physically vomiting.
Billy, this is what I want you to do. This is what I'm requesting of you. This is what I'm telling you. What I request from you as an employee of Metalark Media who is climbing up the ranks, nobody wants all of Jeremy's heat talk. And nobody wants all of Roy's Panthers talk.
Oh, that's too bad.
And nobody wants all of Mike Ryan's hockey talk.
No one's going to want Marlins.
And
talk.
No one wants the entire show's Heat culture talk. So what I would like for you to do in the next 5 minutes, is talk about
a 3-14 team.
Not the Marlins. I don't want you on the Marlins. I do not.
Oh, good. I don't want me on the Marlins. Nardi.
I want you to break down the Heat the way you were just breaking them down, which is condensing all of our coverage into the 5-minute cube that will make everyone detest us right as the playoffs start, because all you're doing is insincerely channeling what Jeremy and Mike always say this time of year.
No, that's not what I was. And by the way, before we get to that, you want to know an atrocity and an issue with salaries? George Soriano makes 10 times what Caitlin Clark is going to make. George Soriano of the Marlins. Unbelievable. Yesterday, you know, I actually felt bad for Skip. Not that we're talking about the Marlins. We're not going to talk about the Marlins. I felt bad for Skip when he went out there and there was this whole situation with the Giants where the wrong reliever. Did you guys catch this? Did you guys hear about this? Did you see this? I don't know why I'm Jay Leno.
It was horrible.
Did you see what happened? So the Giants had the wrong reliever come in. He wanted a right-handed reliever instead of a left-handed reliever comes out. Then he's out there and Skip is screaming at the umpires. There's a situation, pitch clock, amount of time they're supposed to warm up. And Skip was legitimately just begging for an automatic ball to be called. Like, that was the whole thing. He didn't even want them to make the other pitcher. He's like, can we just get a ball? Which is completely irrelevant because they would have struck out on four pitches anyway. So it doesn't matter if it's a ball or a strike. That's where we're at. We're arguing for automatic balls. Now, what were we talking about? The Heat? The Miami Heat?
You were being sarcastic. We were all of us. Wait a minute. No. Billy?
No.
Billy.
I was covering the Heat.
Billy?
Mm-hmm.
Playing what games
you
tomorrow.
Look, big Billy.
One. Big one.
Mm-hmm. Let me explain.
7-8.
Somebody, I really need to explain this because Billy is always an anarchist, and we right now are headed to a 2-month period potentially that's going to ruin his life.
Lock it in.
That you have kids, playoffs. Last April was crazy. Our entire spaceship almost flew off into the bay because we're going to do a lot of stuff over the playoffs if the Heat make a run. It is beneficial to this show for the Heat to make a run. It is beneficial to the audience of this show for the Heat to fall on its face right out of the box and us to get our show back because they don't want 2 months of local playoff coverage.
I'd say it's detrimental to the audience if the Heat and the Panthers go on another playoff run.
Why?
I think the audience wants Heat Knicks, though. So I think the audience roots for the Heat against Philly
right. So
that we can see Heat Knicks.
It's fair.
Heat Celtics is fun, too.
Mm-hmm.
Not for the Heat.
Short.
What's you mentioned it earlier, and Butler's always saying this, the whole narrative that nobody wants to face the Miami Heat. Why?
They have the most playoff wins of anybody in the East over the last 4 years.
But let's not talk about 4 years ago. Let's talk about this season.
Okay, what about last season?
Okay, last year.
That's still not this season.
Okay, that's an outlier, what happened last year.
No, it's not. They made it to the finals.
Stay with this season, Greg.
The idea that the Boston Celtics, with the season they've had, would somehow be afraid of the Miami Heat is laughable to me. It's just laughable.
Understood, but Bill Simmons and Mike Schur have articulated that fear on behalf of Boston fans. They fear that in a Game 7, Miami can go into Boston's building and win by 25 mm-hmm. points, because the last time it happened, it's what happened.
And do you think this Celtics team fears that?
It's not whether I think it or not. They've spent this season winning, crushing everyone. They're clearly better than everybody. Look, I can't make you think Amin El-Hassan's jump shot form is funny? How about him calling Drew Holiday a corpse and Holiday getting 4 years, $135 million, and now being on the Olympic team? now being with LeBron and KD and Joel Embiid on the Olympic team after Amin called him a corpse.
But, Greg, it's a combination of the Celtics underachieving and the Heat continue to overachieve,
right,
especially in the postseason. And so, of course, you're afraid of Jimmy Butler when he went on a run last year to the NBA Finals, and your guy Jason Tatum and Jalen Brown can't win one.
Nobody's going to fear Indiana, Orlando, Cleveland. Right. You're not going
to. No, you want to face those teams.
You're going to fear a little bit the guy who you've seen do it, who's telling you in Slam Magazine, nobody wants to play us seven games. That's at least in part because Spoelstra is going to make a series worth of adjustments that by the end of the series, it's going to be really annoying to be playing the number one defense in the league.
Notice he says it over a seven-game series. Yeah. It's why I walked in a couple days ago and said I fear the one-game sample of these two play-ins more than I fear a seven-game series anybody. That includes Boston.
That's dumb.
Yeah. No, I think that you fear the
they could lose.
They could lose a game to anybody.
They could lose at home to Atlanta. They could lose at home.
They almost lost to Chicago last year.
Literally last year.
None of that happens. They were 4 minutes from us screaming all offseason, trade Jimmy and Bam.
The closest thing they faced to elimination last year in the Eastern Conference was that play-in game against the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah. We're doing positive Billy next. We're doing positive Billy, sunshiny Heat fan.
That's all I ever am.
Okay. Well, you're going to prove it next.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Dan Le Batard.
Many of you, by the way, are writing in and you're saying, Dan, quit being so mean to co-hosts that you always deem incompetent. That's the formula, man. Me being mean to the co-host is what allows Stugatz to take a very wealthy vacation right now.
Stugatz.
It's a winning position for everyone but me. Have you guys not figured this out yet? That's the whole thing, is me being rotten straight, man. As everyone else gets to be incompetent, then I yell at them for being incompetent. And here's the miracle of it. It's the magic elixir. Bad, which is the only thing Greg Cody can be, becomes good and lovable. And it's because standing next to obnoxious, strident me makes everyone look that way.
Yeah, and the brush with death helped.
Yeah, that was planned by me. The whole thing was contrived.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
I'm flipping through the channels the other day, Stugatz. I'm not even watching the Marlins game. I'm just flipping through the Marlins game, and I stop, and I see there's Ron McGill in the stands with a giraffe, a fake giraffe of some sort, and his wife, and I was told he threw out the first pitch, evidently, the honorary first pitch. How many of those in your life have you gotten to throw, Ron?
Just two, Dan. Just two. This is my second time, but it's the first time in the daytime with the roof open in that ballpark, which was beautiful.
Okay, but
what an unnecessary fact.
Yeah, but
it affected his pitch.
Yeah, how did you do both times? Is it pressurized? Were you able to get the ball there easily?
I got it there. I'm not going to lie to you. I practiced. You know, they let me practice against the wall there a lot, and I threw probably 100 pitches just to make sure I could get it across. I didn't want to be embarrassed.
Wow.
And I will tell you, I woke up the next morning, and I'm sore. I'm sore from throwing a baseball 100 times.
Against a wall?
Yeah, against the wall.
100?
They got a place in the ballpark there where they warm up the people who want to throw a first pitch. And it's literally, you know, it's a big white wall that you throw the ball against so it comes right back to you so they don't have to have someone catching and throwing back to you. And that's what I was doing. I threw like 100 of them, and I was getting the heat on there. As a matter of fact, I threw it so hard that Billy kind of missed it. It bounced off his face.
Huh. You hit the mascot. You hit the mascot in the face?
I not on purpose. I threw it right at him, but it went by his glove, and it hit him in the face.
Did you go from the mound or –
from the mound, baby. That's important. Thanks for the point there, Stu, guys.
Yep, you got
all these other people are stepping up on the grass.
Yes.
No, I stepped on the rubber from the mound.
You have to. Yeah. Well done, Ron.
All right, before we get to our animal questions, Chris Cody, I was shocked to hear this from your father during the break. He was yelling at both Slam Magazine and Jimmy Butler, and he's like, somebody fears the Heat in a seven-game series. That's what you have to say. That is, quote, Heat bullshit culture bluster bullshit.
That is Heat culture talking.
No, but that's you called it Heat bullshit culture bluster bullshit.
I think I'm being slightly misquoted there, but
I'm not.
A couple of bullshits in there.
Paraphrasing.
I'm quoting you. I wrote it down.
Okay,
yes.
Normally I don't swear.
Heat bullshit culture bluster bullshit. Mm-hmm.
Two bullshits.
Yeah.
Right, yes.
One of the main platforms of Heat culture is overconfidence. The idea that you would be the team nobody else wants to play. All I'm saying is that very few people in America are going to have a lot of money riding on the Heat to beat the Celtics in a seven-game series. That's all. Not to say they can't do it. Not to say they can't replicate last postseason.
But the odds are really against it. I understand that they're different teams. They are different teams. But the last time those teams played a series, the last time it happened, these two teams have been fighting at the top of the conference for five straight years.
Yep. Tatum, not this year, though.
Tatum is viewed as an underachiever only because Miami has stood in his way.
We should be celebrating Greg Cody today for not being a homer.
He's a good point.
Seriously, yeah. Standing up.
Congrats, Greg.
Congratulations, Greg.
Okay, I'm proud of you.
Hey, I mean, it's just.
Are you sure? Are you feeling okay? Yeah. Yeah. Congratulations. Take a bow.
Go.
Take a bow.
Take a moment.
You
are a hero.
Take a bow.
Right now.
Yeah.
Do a jig. Do a jig. Do a Charleston.
Look at him go.
Do a Charleston. Let's go. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I want to make clear.
I want to make clear I am a homer.
Yeah,
I'm
all
not,
right. Yeah,
I'm not anti-Heat. I'm not anti-Heat.
No.
I'm not wishing they lose.
He's pro-truth.
I'm thinking they're going to lose. That's all. I think they're going to lose Wednesday night in Philly, and I think they're going to lose in the first round. That's
all. I don't know about that.
So wait, they'll get into the eighth seed.
So they'll win Friday.
They'll win the Friday matchup.
I think so, yeah.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they play Boston, which is very unfortunate.
Sweep.
It's an interesting series.
Anything can happen in a seven-game series, though.
Five.
Craig.
That's what I keep hearing.
Yeah. No one wants to play the Heat in a
seven-game series. Not in
apparently
seven.
Apparently not.
No,
oh, my God.
Five-game series.
Why would you want to play a team that's 46-36? I mean, wow.
Well, you're forgetting they have Spo, and he can make the adjustments of a seven-game series.
That's another plank.
They lost
in the
more
heat
games
culture.
Less racket this season.
46-36, you mock.
They're better than last year.
The Knicks won 50 games this year, and it's a monumental achievement.
It is for them, yeah. What have they done since Willis Reed?
If you extrapolate that 46-36 over like 1,000 game samples, that's almost 100 games over 500.
That's a good point, Billy.
Yeah.
And, you know, just because the Marlins are on pace to go 29-133 doesn't mean they will. So let's keep that
confidence. Make that 1,000 game sample. So Marlins won 290 games.
Ron, what is the greatest sports honor you have received when you have been at some sort of local icon? And where does throwing out first pitches rank in terms of local sports honors for you?
That's the greatest sports honor for me. I mean, other than going, it's not really a sports honor when I was in the Arbiters Hall of Fame. I guess the greatest sport award I got was I was the one-on-one champion.
No, wait a minute. No,
that's great.
This happened already. You're not going to
I forgot the Hot Dog Hall of Fame. I apologize. I'm not making fun. What an honor.
Now you are. You are. But no, my greatest sports honor, I guess the greatest thing ever as far as playing sports was I was the one-on-one all-campus champion at the University of Florida in the intramural program.
Wow.
Ron, wait a minute. I do want to get stuck here again before we get to the animal video. Why is it, Greg Cody, that I cannot have Ron McGill on, ask him on?
It is ridiculous. It's the first. Arbiters is a funny word. Okay. I'm a word enjoyer. And Arbiters is funny to me.
All right. If I can continue, please. I simply want for everyone to understand that every time Ron McGill talks about a syrupy, deep honor to him, sincerely, because Ron McGill appreciates what I'm about to say, which is the following. That he's a local icon, and when a place that is a local icon also celebrates you, then he becomes part of the flavor and taste of Miami.
Yeah.
I do agree with that.
Oh, okay.
Well said.
So, but in that Greg Cody would continually mock that as one of your greatest honors, and that he laughs every time it's mentioned, is to me it feels insulting to your friendship.
Look,
Greg. Like I said, Greg's not—he's not a homer, so he's just not going to, you know, agree with everything. I bow to Greg. I understand, you know, I'm not a world-renowned columnist. I'm just a local zookeeper who sometimes gets a bone thrown to him by the hot dog guy. So
well,
I'm happy.
I mean, you're in the Arbiters Hall of Fame, and you always will be.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, I mean,
thank you very much.
Come on.
There it is, baby. There it is.
Yeah, look at that.
Look how happy he was. Of course, why wouldn't he be? And are you wearing the same shirt?
Is no, that, it's a different it's shirt, a Dan. Different shirt. It's a different shirt. Okay.
That's a big crowd you got there.
No, it was packed. There was a live band.
Greg.
It is.
What are you doing?
Greg.
Oh, a big crowd.
It is.
It looks like a David Sampson crowd at a vineyard.
Wow.
He's taking
gosh.
That must have been one hell of a traffic jam, man. You are
pissing everybody out.
Wait, he said he came in here with road rage and we haven't addressed it. I meant to address it four segments ago. He's been complaining about Roy. Oh, I so regret not telling the audience that he was going to take everyone out today because he did come in here steaming. McGill. Greg yes. Cody, as legendary Miami people, can you please shout to the skies for our leadership, for somebody to help us with the terrible traffic congestion problem that we have because our infrastructure is not built for the number of people who now live in South Florida?
You make a good point, Dan. You of all people probably suffering that living on the beach because the beach, oh, Lord have mercy, that is a nightmare. I only go out there to see you.
Nice. It's the worst I've seen lately. And it's
no, it's the
and
worst it's ever
worse.
Been.
And
no,
it's getting
we
worse.
We are now old people complaining about traffic. Old people complaining about local traffic.
Damn right.
But it can't be this bad anywhere else in the United States. It can't be. It's not possible.
Well, I
disagree. I was just in New York City, but then you don't need a car because you got incredible public transportation. But New York City is ridiculous. You can walk faster than you can drive.
And likewise, I just spent 4 days in L.A. In stop-and-stop traffic on the 405, which is horrific. So I'm sure all over the country people are saying, well, no, we have bad traffic too. But Miami is the worst right now than I've ever experienced.
Ron, were 27 people inducted into the Arbiters Hall of Fame this year?
Big class.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, it could have been 27. What's your point, Billy?
No, I'm just asking. I'm just curious.
That's the entire crowd.
Wait a minute. 27?
Don't let anyone in.
Wait a minute, Ron. An inductee class of 27?
Your point, Dan?
I mean, there are more people outside of the Hall of Fame than inside it.
Wow.
Now, why don't you and Cody go out to lunch?
Wow! Oh! Go out to lunch to Arbiters.
Yeah, let's go, to Arbiters. Anybody who buys a Kraut dog gets inducted in the Hall of Fame. I'm just kidding. You know that, Ron.
Okay, guys. How about those animal videos?
All right, let's play this video for Ron. It's an orangutan and a juice box. So tell me, this is going viral on TikTok. It is B-roll. And tell me what's happening here. Narrate this.
Christmas. You know, this is, again, people doing things that shouldn't be done just to get clicks. First of all, whatever that orangutan is drinking, you probably shouldn't be drinking. You got a plastic straw, ripping off the plastic, throwing it out, everything bad about plastics, going into more plastic stuff, drinking. You know, stop promoting this garbage.
It says a lot of vitamin C, though, in the orange juice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even think that's orange juice. I think it's just some artificially sweetened crap, and you're giving this orangutan an addiction to sugar like crack. And it's just the worst thing you could possibly do. And of course, social media, the toilet bowl of the internet, keeps promoting it.
Well, I see from the video is a great ape using tools. Yeah. Like, well, it's a great illustration.
The part that
is
I
that,
was...
Is that what you saw? Is that what you saw?
I mean, if I'm going to take a positive from the video, that would be it.
I saw an orangutan polluting.
First of all, it's orangutan, not
that
tang.
That one, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Well, it was drinking tang.
Drinking tang. You're the minority, Roy, if that's all you saw.
He littered. There's no question about
it. Okay. Roy's a minority?
No. I'm taking the positive out of the video, and that's the positive that I saw. And a great ape and an orangutan.
You know, I will say you are a bright spot on this show. You are definitely a bright spot on this show.
He's never been described that way.
Ever.
Yeah. No, not by you.
Also, Roy is not in the Arbiters Hall of Fame.
I can eat a hot dog, though.
John Jay is, though.
John Jay is in?
So is Coach Mirabal family from Columbus High School.
Wow!
Who accepted on the family's behalf, Ron?
Ron is George Moss. George Moss, and he was there. He accepted.
Ron, the thing about this video that I did think was more interesting than don't do this to orangutans. They need to have a natural lifestyle that's not sugary, plastic, straws, and cardboard. But he unwrapped a straw and used the straw to drink from a juice box. And I do believe that you've become somewhat numb to how amazing animals are if you are not marveling like we are at the orangutan using this as a tool this way, the way a human would, and telling us how smart this animal is.
Dan, I've told you over and over how smart these animals are. I've watched an orangutan watch a zookeeper unlock a lock with a key and then try to take a stick to use it as a key to pick that lock to get out of its enclosure. So they are incredibly intelligent. They use all kinds of tools for things. I just wish they would show a tool of maybe an orangutan using a stick to get some honey out of a beehive as opposed to pulling out a plastic straw from a plastic wrapper and putting into artificial sweetened juice.
Don Van Orsdell. Funeral home magnate.
Wow.
Whoa.
Hall of Fame this year.
Star power.
DVO.
People are dying to get in.
Our bettors better give me a ton of free hot dogs after all this publicity you guys are doing.
That right there, that is a comedically perfect description. See you later, Ron.
Love you guys.
See you, Ron.
Since the dawn of mankind, we've cooked our food over an open flame and debated the best way to grill. One thing not up for debate, grilling and beer always go together. And not just any beer will do. Whether you barbecue Texas style or celebrate Wednesday with burgers and dogs, you need a beer that tastes great and is less filling, so you have more room for food. You need Miller Lite. As you guys may or may not know, I'm a pretty decent cook, especially behind the barbecue. So when I start the fire from my smoker on a hot day, really, the only thing that I have to worry about is what wood I'm going to use. The easiest decision for me is what I'll be drinking. And that's a nice ice cold can of Miller Lite. Oh, and by the way, here's a pro tip. It really goes well with brisket. Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, and tastes as great as your barbecue. A perfect companion for grill masters across America. With the Miller Lite in hand, grilling doesn't just taste great. It tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right at your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.